Good evening. Welcome back. We're going to be continuing with Gemara and Ksuvas, starting at the bottom of Zion and Mabez and continuing on to Chesam and Aleph. We're going to be discussing a Gemara which really dissects and explains the Sheva Brachos that we hear every wedding and every time we go to a Sheva Brachos, and we kind of take it for granted, but as we can imagine, if we just took a minute to think about it, we would realize that of course, a lot of thought and care went into the wording and the order of the way we do Sheva Brachos and all other aspects involved. And the Gemara and Dazayin and Mabe is really, and then on to Chesam et Aleph, really gives us an idea of exactly what's going on here. It's really fascinating. Fascinating stuff. So let's take a look. The Gemara says at the bottom of Zayin and Mabe, Tan Rabbanon, Mevarachin Birchas Chasanim Ba'asara. We make the Birchas Chasanim, we make the Bracha of Sheva Brachos with 10 people. Kol Shiva, the entire 7 days of celebration. We know, we've seen elsewhere, that there are 7 days of celebration after the wedding that the Chosn and Kala celebrate together. And any meal which they eat together, if there are 10 people there, we make Sheva Brachos, as the Gemara just said here. Omer Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda says, V'hu Sheba u'panim chadashos. And that is where Panim Chadashos came. If there are new people there who are not at the wedding, and we'll see and tell us exactly what Panim Chadashos means, that's when we make Sheva Brachos. Rashi says, V'hu Sheba u'alanishta, and that is that they came to the party, Panim Chadashos b'chol yom, shelo ha'yashomei esmo. New people who were not there on the previous days. So let's take a look at Tosus, because Tosus is a little bit Himmeldick, what we call, a little bit esoteric. But it'll help us get an idea of exactly why Panim Chadashos is actually relevant by Sheva Brachos. Tosus says, V'hu Sheba u'panim Chadashos, Omeri, the Panim Chadashos ein kori ela b'vnei adam shemarbim b'shvilim ha'simcha yoser. We only refer to Panim Chadashos those people who, on their account, the simcha is increased even more. In other words, let's say a chasan and kala are at Sheva Brachos, and there was a particular individual, a very close friend of the chasan's family, let us say, who, due to circumstances, whatever they were, was not able to attend the wedding. Such a person, if he comes to a Sheva Brachos, that's a tremendous simcha. The chasan is excited to see this person, and he's so happy that the person can join in part of the celebration, even if he wasn't able to be there at the actual wedding. As opposed to, for example, every time a person makes a wedding, it's a wonderful simcha. It should be for every person in the right time, be it his own wedding or his children's wedding. And a person has to make a guest list. And a person has to choose which of the people that I consider to be my friends are really my friends. Which are the people who I want to be at my wedding to celebrate with me? Which are the people who I don't want to be at my wedding to celebrate with me? These are all questions a person has to think about when he's planning a wedding. Let us say he includes a certain person, we'll call him Reuven, on his guest list. And he wasn't sure whether or not to invite Reuven, but in the end he decided, recently he and Reuven have been on very good terms. They've been, kind of buddy-buddy lately, and he thinks it'd really be nice to invite Reuven. And of course there's always the sort of reckoning that a person takes into account. Well, even if I don't really want him there, he might be insulted if I don't invite him. So, and not to say that that's in any way a bad account to have. A person should take such a thing into account. So he invites Reuven, and Reuven doesn't show. And as it turns out, whether Reuven admits this or not, he didn't come because he wasn't in the mood to come that night. He got home from work late. He'd actually responded that he was coming, but he was so exhausted at the time. He had a rough day at work, and he didn't make it. Now, clearly, this is somebody who's not a real good buddy of the chassan or his family. They're friends. you know, they're part of the same community. They're certainly part of each other's lives to a certain extent, but they're not what we call super close. If Reuven then comes to the Shavuot Brachos, to which he was invited, especially feeling like he wants to go participate in the Simcha because he was not able to make it to the wedding, and again, in this instance, we'll put the word evil in quotation marks, then his arrival at the Shavuot Brachos is only going to yield so much Simcha on the part of either the Chassan or his parents, or other of the Baalei Simcha. They may be happy that he came, the more the merrier, but at the same time, it only adds so much. So according to this Pshat and Tosfos, such a person, it would be questionable whether he could be called Panim Chadashos. And now Tosfos says something very interesting. He says, V'Shabbos, D'Chashvinan Panim Chadashos, D'Amrinan Ba'agada, Mizmer Sheli Yom HaShabbos, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Panim Chadashos Ba'ol Lekan, Nemar Shira. Tosfos quotes a Medrash that Shabbos is referred to as Panim Chadashos. That the reason that Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos is appropriate is because it's as if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, new people have come. Shabbos is the new person who's come to this place. We have to sing Shira. We have to sort of increase the Simcha because Shabbos is here. Yay, Shabbos is here. We're so excited for Shabbos to be here. In that instance, Shabbos was considered Panim Chadashos. Tosfos says, Hasam Nami, there also, Marbin L'chvod HaShabbos B'Simcha U'V'Suda. It seems as if Tosfos is bothered by something which he has to address. He says that there also, we increase for the honor of the Shabbos who joined us in happiness and in Suda, in the meal. And it's almost as if, oh, Reuven is here, let's bring out the good wine. Sort of in the same vein, Hashem says, now that Shabbos is here, let's sing Shira, let's increase the way the party is being thrown, because Shabbos is here, it's an even bigger party than it was before. It seems that Tosfos was bothered by the fact that initially Shabbos is referred to as Panim Chadashos. Why is that? It's almost implied from the end of Tosfos that not only, when Tosfos said, a Panim Chadashos is somebody who increases the Simcha, it's not just a function of a person coming who actually gladdens the Chazan Nikala more so than if he wasn't there. Not just your average friend, but really a close person to the Chazan Nikala or the other Baalei Simcha. But even more than that, somebody who, on that person's account, we increase the way the party is being thrown. For example, something that could really happen on a regular basis. Or at least an example that we can understand. A close friend of the Chassan wasn't at the wedding due to circumstances beyond his control. He shows up at the Shavuot Brachos. The Chassan's so excited to see him, they begin singing and dancing, and they have a whole, you know, practically a first set, you know, with the whole the dancing and then the Chassan sitting down in the middle and people dancing in front of him. Why? Because now that this extra person is here, the Chassan wants to have a whole other set of dancing that he missed out on having with this close friend because that person couldn't be at the wedding. That's certainly a different type of party than it was before the singing and the dancing were done. Or in fact, if the Chassan did actually have the reaction, hey, Reuven's here, let's bring out the good wine, or whatever the reaction might be. It has to be a person whose coming creates a greater level of simcha, so much so that the party has changed, the dynamic has changed. We're going to throw a different party now that Reuven's going to be here. Or if we know in advance that Reuven's going to be here, and therefore, instead of just ordering Carlos and Gabby's, which is if you're unaware, it's a restaurant locally that sometimes people use to cater the Shavuot Brachos. We're not going to do that. We're going to go whole hog. We're going to have divvy out homemade dishes, and this person's going to bring a roast, and this person's going to bring a chicken dish, and this person's going to bring kugels and various vegetable dishes and all sorts of delicacies, homemade food. We're going to really try and do this party special. Why? Because it's not just a regular Shavuot Brachos for the Chazan and Kala. It's a Shavuot Brachos for the Chazan and Kala where their close friends are going to be there who weren't able to be at the wedding. Such a thing could in fact happen, and if such a thing does happen, that's an instance where we have Panim Chadashos, where we are required to say Shavuot Brachos. Now, this does not exactly dovetail with the way we tend to use Panim Chadashos nowadays. Nowadays, if a person wasn't at the wedding, and he's at Shavuot Brachos, He's Pan Chadoshos. We can say Shavu Brachos now. Otherwise, we would just say Bracha Achrita, the long Bracha of Asher Bar Sosim Simcha. But now that this new person is here, we're going to say all seven. It may be that we don't pass in Lactosis. It may be that we're very liberal in our determination of who's considered such a Pan Chadoshos that increases the Simcha, and what exactly is determined by our changing the party on his behalf. It's hard to know. But in any event, it does seem that this is how, certainly on the face of it, Tosfos would feel that such a case would not be considered Panu Chadashos, and perhaps the answer is we don't ask him like Tosfos. Okay, let us proceed and see some more about this fascinating subject. The Gemara now says, "My Mevarech." And the bottom line, the Gemara asks, what are the brachos? What, in fact, are the brachos that we say? Omer Rav Yehuda says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shakol Bar Lefoto. The first bracha, barring Hagafen, which we're going to discuss in Rashi shortly, that everything was created for His honor. Everything was created for Hashem's honor, for Hashem's glory. V'yotzer Ha'adam, and the blessing to Hashem that He's the one who created man. And the next bracha, the Asher Yotzer Es Adam Betzalmo, and that He created man in His image, Betzalem Demustav Niso, in the image of His form, or in the image of the likeness of His form. V'hiskin lo mimenu binyan adayad, and He established for Him, from Him, an everlasting building. And we're going to see that that's a reference to Chava as Mimenu, from Him. Chava was in fact created from Adam. Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Yotzer HaAdam, the creator of man. So that was bracha number 3 of the ones that we were listing. And if you're counting from Hagafen, it was 4. The next bracha, Sos Tosis V'Sogel HaAkara. And just to point something out that we're going to point out in Rashi, this bracha does not begin with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. As the other ones, even though it doesn't actually spell it out in the Gemara, the fact that they begin from Asher Yatzar makes it clear that it's the grammar of Asher Yatzar that He created doesn't make sense to start a statement with that. So it's clear that it's began with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Similarly, Yotzer HaAdam, even though it doesn't spell it out, we couldn't just say Yotzer HaAdam. That's not a bracha. However, Sos Tosis, the Gemara says, is its own bracha, and it begins as follows: Sos Tosis, V'Sogel HaAkara, you should surely rejoice and do joyous dancing. I believe Sogel is a dancing reference. HaAkara, the barren one, referring to Yerushalayim. B'Kibbutz Banah L'Socha B'Simcha, in the gathering of her children within her, in joyousness. Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are You Hashem, B'Sameach Tzion B'Banah. He who rejoices Zion with her children. Bracha number 5 or number 6 if you're counting from Hagafen. Sameach v'samach reim ha'ahuvim. Let the friends who love each other rejoice. K'zamecha chayitzircha b'Gan Eden yikedem. As You Hashem rejoiced with Your creation, with Your creature in Gan Eden of former days. Baruch Atah Hashem sameach chosan v'kala. That You make groom and bride rejoice. Something that we may not have noticed when we hear Shavu Brachos, that the end of that bracha is Chasan Vikala, not Chasan Imakala, as the next one will be, and there's actually a very good reason for that distinction. We'll see what it is in Rashi. The next bracha begins Baruch Atah Hashem, and this one does begin with a Baruch. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Bara Sasan V'Simcha, that created joy and gladness, Chasan Vikala, groom and bride, Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Chedva, and I don't know the exact translation of all these. Gila is again a sort of a joyous dancing, and Rina is a sort of joyous singing. Ditsa and Chedva are different types, also different joy and rapture. Ahava is love, Achva, Vishalom, Vireos, and brotherhood and peace and friendship. Mehira Hashem Elokeinu Yishma Ba'ara Yehuda. May Hashem soon make heard in the cities of Yehuda, v'chutz Yerushalayim, and in the streets of Jerusalem, kol sasam kol simcha, the sound of joy and the sound of happiness, kol chasam kol kala, the sound of groom, the sound of bride, Kol mitzhalos chasanim mechupasim, the sound of joyous, or chasanim joyously leaving their marital canopies. V'narim unarim mishene ginasam, and young lads from the parties of their joyous singing. Baruch Ata Hashem sameach chasanim hakala, he who rejoices the groom with the bride. So again, I translate a lot of those words quite literally. Of course, perhaps we all know what they mean. And the translation does not do justice to the poetry of the words as they are written in Hebrew, but that is in fact what they mean. And that is the end of the Shavar Brachos. The next Gemara is going to discuss various incidents which happened in which people saw Shavar Brachos happening in different ways at different great rabbis' parties, and they draw from that how it is that we are supposed to do Shavar Brachos. However, let us here take a look at Rashi. Rashi says at the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, "My mevareth Omer Rav Yehuda v'chule, nira be'enai seder brachos shenizdiru al iske hazivug." It appears in my eyes, Rashi tells us, that the order of the blessings were ordered based on their sort of relation to the idea of a marital partnership. And those brachos that order only begins Einu Ela Me'Asher Yatzar Ve'Eilach, is only from the bracha of Asher Yatzar, which if you're counting from Hagafen is 1, Hakol Bar Lechvodo is 2, Yatzar Hadam is 3, Asher Yatzar is number 4. So of the 7 brachos that we consider Shavar Brachos, only the last 4, 5, 6, and 7 are actually of the order of Shavar Brachos. Why is this? Rashi tells us, "Sha'usa bracha maschelas ledaber b'shneim." That bracha is the one that begins to discuss both of them. How is this? Asher yatzar sa'adam medaber b'zachar. The reference to zachar is the line that he created man. V'hiskin lo mimenu binyan adayad hiyanakeva. And he established from him an everlasting building. That's a reference to Chava. And that's the first bracha that discusses both of them. And now Rashi is going to explain what the other brachas are doing from that point onward. Sos tosis, Rafisha anutzrichin lahalos zichron Yerushalayim al rosh simchaseinu. We need to raise the remembrance of Yerushalayim above our highest joy. Shenemar tzidirak l'shanu l'chiki v'gomer. The pasuk actually pretty much spells out that we have to raise Yerushalayim al rosh simchaseinu. Sameach to Samach, so that is a reference. Why exactly does that have to do with the Zivug? The answer is because now we are creating a pairing of husband and wife, and that is a tremendous simcha. We have to remember at this time while we're doing this tremendous simcha, but also Yerushalayim even more so. The next bracha, Sameach to Samach, bracha lechosan v'kala. It is a bracha to the chosan and kala, she'atlichu b'simcha v'tuv lev, that they should be successful with happiness and a good heart for their lives together. Excuse me. V'asher bara, and the bracha of Asher bara, the Shem Kol Yisrael, is for all of Kol Yisrael to be happy in their marital situations. That they should be married, that they should be happily married, and so on and so forth. Okay, and now Rashi tells us the following. Since the order begins from this bracha of Asher Yatzar, which is in fact the fourth, therefore it begins with a barach, and also ends with a barach, as is the way of all beginnings of orders of brachos. In other words, when we have brachos which are in order with each other. For example, in the morning when we say Asher Yatzar and subsequently say Elokai Neshama, even though the bracha of Asher Yatzar does conclude with a bracha, Rovecho Basar Mafil Asos, so in theory, the bracha could begin not with the the terms Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, but rather just begin, maybe not Asher Yotzar, maybe we'd have to have some, grammatically we'd have to have some change at the beginning, but you could technically begin discussing the wonders that Hashem does for our body and then conclude with Rofei Cholbas Malchus. But since it is the beginning of an order of two brachos, it begins with Baruch Atah Hashem, and it is only the next bracha, Elokai Neshama, which doesn't have a Baruch, because it's not the first one. Although we're not going to see this inside, I don't know if we're going to have time for it, Tosfos actually looks at it from a slightly different viewpoint. And Tosfos says, rather, every bracha should really have a Baruch at the beginning of it, and it's only when a bracha is not the first in a series. In other words, it is the second following another bracha which ended with a Baruch. Therefore, the second bracha or the third bracha in a series does not need to begin with a Baruch, but really every bracha should begin with a Baruch. Whereas Rashi is sort of looking at it the other way, that brachos do not need to begin with a Baruch, except if they're the first. The first of a series. So that is Rashi's view. And Rashi says, V'sos tosses v'sameach t'samach, this is what Rashi continues and says, the next two brachos, number 5 and number 6, because they are a bracha which is connected to its friend, lo posach baba baruch, does not begin with a baruch. Shekein tikni l'chol habrachos shesmuchos achar harishon al seder. That so did they establish for every bracha which is close after the second, the first of a series, and is now the second or the third in a series, it does not get a baruch at the beginning. Excuse me. And the seventh bracha Asher Bar, because it is often, most of the time, said alone, and most of the days of partying, in other words, during the most days of Shavuot brachos, after the actual wedding, when there are no panim chadashos, as Rashi says, she'ein sham panim chadashos, we only say Asher Bar. And therefore, since we're going to say it by itself, it needs to begin with Baruch Atah Hashem. The Fikach, therefore, Eina min hasmuchos, it is not from those which are connected or close to the others. V'hutrach liftach b'baruch, we need to begin it with the word baruch, u'lesayim b'baruch, and also to have a concluding blessing at the end of it. However, now Rashi is going to address how it is that the first three brachos came to be at the beginning of the Seder, and what exactly is their purpose. Aval sha'kol bar lechvodo eina min ha-seder. However, sha'kol bar lechvodo, which is according to our cheshbon number 2 after Hagafen, Rashi doesn't even mention Hagafen, which we'll get into soon. However, sha'kol bar lechvodo eina min ha-seder. That bracha is not from the order. Elo la'asiv asa'om ha-ne'asafim sham ligmol chesed. Rather, it's regarding the gathering of people who have gathered to grand chesed, meaning they came, so it is a chesed, to join in the happiness of the bride and groom. Zeichel chazdei amakom, as sort of a remembrance, that we go to weddings sort of as a remembrance to the chesed that Hashem did for Adam, shenahagim Adam, harishon, that he did with Adam harishon, shenasa lo shushbin, that he made for him, for Adam harishon, a shushbin. What exactly the translation of shushbin is hard to know. It's sort of an assistant, a person who is sort of a person's, like a chambermaid for a person when they are getting ready and so on and so forth, and assists in all the various things that a chazan and kala would need assistance with throughout the course of their wedding. So Hashem did that for Adam Rishon, which is, if we think about it, is really pretty wild. Hashem being the chambermaid, so to speak. Perhaps that's not the best translation, but in any event, it's essentially what it is, a manservant, some kind of a person, or kibiyach, not really a person, but a somebody who would answer to Chassan's beck and call. That's essentially what a shushbin is. Such a person, for Hashem to become such a person on the day of Adam's wedding, it's wild to think that Hashem would do that. But that's the way Hashem is. Hashem is full of chesed. Hashem just gives and gives and gives. So Hashem, as a remembrance to the chesed that Hashem did for Adam Rishon, we also are going to the wedding to, if not to actually assist in the wedding, to assist in the happiness, our being there. The more people there are, of course, increases the simcha at the wedding. And so we are there sort of as a chesed. Of course, perhaps we want to be there, but it also is a chesed to the groom and bride. V'nis asek bo, and Hashem dealt with admiration. V'asifa zu, and this gathering, kavod hamakomi, is therefore, it's an honor to Hashem. Hashem, just the way you did it, we want to do it also. And a person, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery. So too, when we emulate Hashem, that is in itself a certain way of our expressing a compliment to Hashem. It's a funny way to say it. Of course, Hashem doesn't need our compliments, but it is essentially what we're doing. It's an honor to Hashem when we make an effort to emulate Hashem's actions. Ubracha zu lekach niskana. And this bracha was established for that purpose. Umijas asifa hiru'uya levarech. And really, from the time that they're gathered, right at the beginning of the gathering, is the appropriate time to make the brachos. And we should make that bracha first. Elam yikeven sheyesh bracha al hakos. Since there is a bracha on the kos, and this is the hagafen that we've been referencing, which is the first bracha that we always do. Since there is such a bracha, his kikul is sadra alav. They're required to make the series of brachos begin with hagafen. That should be sort of the chief bracha, so to speak. Although, it is in fact, in terms of honor, in terms of kavod, when a person is given the first bracha, if he's not given the second bracha as well, it is in fact the lowest on the totem pole. If you're ever given the first bracha, the shavar bracha, so not the second, now you know where you stand. So whenever there is a bracha on the kos, whenever there's a hagafen, that is sort of becomes the chief tying together bracha for the whole series of brachos. Midi dahava berchas besamu berchas al haor b'motzar Shabbos. Same way it is done by Havdalah. Da Arminan Rabbi Mefazan v'chozer v'sojan al kos Rabbi Chia v'chansam whole v'yesham kos. When there was a kos, when there was a hagafen attached to the bracha of Havdalah, which if you think about it, there's really no reason why there has to be a kos. The whole idea of Havdalah is to make a separation. We should light a fire, and we have Bisam to sort of comfort us because Shabbos is leaving, but why the kos? So, the answer was that since there was an order of brachas, we had a kos there, and once there's a kos, we're going to have that be sort of the chief bracha. Since it's not part of the rest of the series of brachos, v'kula hodah achas, and now Rashi is referring to the bracha of Shakol Bar Lechvodo. Since it's not part of the rest of the order of the brachos, it's just its own thing, referring to the chesed of Hashem that Hashem did for Adam Arishon, but nothing to do really specifically with marriage. And the rest of the series of brachos is really all one thinking, so to speak. Lo chos m'lo v'barach. It did not get an ending of, quote, baruch. Mi did have a birch with prayers and mitzvos. Because it's really not different than when we make bracha either on fruit, when we eat something, a bracha before we eat something, or also bracha on a mitzvah we do. V'chein birchas yotzer adam, and the third bracha as well. Sh'teknua li'yitzir rishon ha'shal adam, that it was established sort of as a remembrance for the first creation of Adam Arishon. What exactly that means, we will see soon. Kidula Kaman, the Gemara is going to say later on, Yidam Adam Arbezi Tzirs Abu, Yidam Adam Arbezi Tzirs Abu Machshava. Ubasa Machshava Azlinan, and I'm going to leave that those lines unexplained for now, because it's going to be, it's a really quote of the Gemara later on, and we'll see that soon. Mikomakom Enam Miseder Berchas Azivog. Nevertheless, it is not part of the order of brachos that are regarding marital ideas. Tahabi Yitzir Harishon Akatina Kevelo Havoi. Because that first creation, which we'll see exactly what that means, that was a creation before Chava existed. And then Rashi addresses the following question, V'im tomar lama hiba b'sof sha, mito lama hiba, why do you have this bracha at all? Why do you have it if it has nothing to do with marriage and it's just a remembrance to Adam Rishon having been created before there was even a Chava, so why have a bracha about that? Rashi tells us, mito shanu b'varchen al yitzir ha'shniya, the first creation was really sort of the more main creation. That was later on, Chava was created, even though, of course, the creation of Chava is not unimportant. And certainly, perhaps, don't tell your wives this. But the idea of Adam being created was sort of the more primary creation that occurred. However, Therefore, once we are mentioning the second creation, in which Chava was a part, we also reference the first creation, which was just Adam. Rashi goes on to explain some of the phrases that we find in the actual Shavar Brachos themselves. V'hiskin lo mimeno, migufo u'mitalosov. Mimeno refers to from his body, from his ribs. The word mimeno, if we think about it, from him. How was Chava created from him? Well, that is in fact how Chava was created. He or she was created because Hashem took one of Adam's ribs and created Chava from that rib. There's an old joke that goes, Adam came home late from work one day and Chava counted his ribs. Rashi goes on, Binyan Adayad, Binyan Noheg Lidoros, a building which is established for generations, V'chava, Kari La Binyan. And we know Chava is referred to as a Binyan, a building, Hashem Vayiven as a Tzela. Hashem refers to the creation of Chava as being a sort of a building, an action of building. Rashi says, Akara Yerushalayim, the reference of Akara, barren woman, is a reference to Yerushalayim. Reyim ha'ahuvim, friends who love each other, hechasim v'akal, this is the bride and groom. Or in this case, the groom and bride. Shehein reyim ha'ohavim zeze, they are friends who love each other. Kisamecha kal yitzircha, kimo shesamachta es Adam Harishon, just like you made Adam Harishon happy, began Eden Mikerem, as it writes in the Pasuk, and Hashem planted a garden in the place called Eden Mikadem, meaning from before, this is a reference to previous days. They asked him Shem, and he placed there Adam. He placed Adam there into that garden. And Rashi tells us, and in the latter bracha, it uses the phrase, he who rejoices the groom with the bride. So what's groom and bride, groom with the bride, what's the difference? L'fish is simcha's bracha rishona, the simcha that's referenced in the first bracha, in this instance, first bracha means the sixth bracha, the first of the two last ones. Lo b'simcha's chasna, it's not referring to the simcha of marriage. Shari tfilahi, it is a prayer, shemispallim umvarchin, that we are davening and we are making a bracha. She who smeichen ba'atzlacha kolayim, they should be happy in success all their days. L'fikach ein lachnam ba v'sameach chasanim akalo t'mashma ish v'ishto ela barachat Hashem v'sameach as shnehem lolam. Rather, the way we finish is Hashem should bless them that they should be happy, do them should be happy forever, b'sipuk mizonos with enough food v'chol tov and all good. In other words, that's really a reference to if not personal success, at least not the success of a marriage, but the success that any person wants. He wants to be able to provide a living for himself and to be able to accomplish something in this world and to have what he needs. All these kinds of things, that kind of sort of personal success, that each of them, the chasen and the kalah, should each have that kind of success. And the second one, the achron, and the last bracha, it's a praise that we are praising to Hashem. That He created marriage, which is the clinging of a man with a woman, through happiness and joy. Therefore, he who makes the groom rejoice with the bride, because they're rejoicing together. This is the rejoicing that they have, in which they are now a unit, a couple. Shehu lashon simchas ish biisha. That is the terminology of the happiness of a man with his wife. The Gemara now continues by discussing, as we mentioned, several stories of Amoraim viewing other Amoraim hosting weddings and how they conducted shavu brachos. The Gemara says, Levi ikla lebei Rebbe behilud Rav Shimon Berei. Levi happened to come to, the word ikla is a funny word to translate, but essentially it means he was at Rebbe's house at the wedding of Rav Shimon his son. Brich Chamesh, he made five brachos. Rav Asi ikla lebei Rav Ashi bihilu demar berei. Rav Asi was at the wedding of Rav Ashi's son Brich Shis, and they made six brachos. So although we're familiar with the term Sheva Brachos,
These people had chamesh brachos and shesh brachos.
Let's see Rashi just to see which brachos we're referring to. Rashi says brich chamesh shakol. The first bracha after Hagafen is shakol v'asher yatzar v'sos tassis samech samech asher bara. So he did not have the bracha of yotzer ha'adam. Brich shis yotzer ha'adam hosif. The Amora, at whose wedding 6 blessings were made, added Yotzer HaAdam. Now, this is not to say that in either case they did not make Hagafen. Presumably they did. And really, it was a question of 6 or 7, not 5 or 6. But the number is not so significant. The Gemara says the following. Let us say that they're arguing about the following. The Mar Savar Chada Yitzir Havoi. That one holds that there was one creation, Umar Savar Shtei Yitziris Havoi. And one holds there was two creations. One creation, two creation, what exactly does this mean? Rashi tells us, Chada Yitzira Havoi, Kemandar Be'erivin, Vayivin Es Atzela, Pirtzuf Shemitzchilas Briyaso Nivra Shnei Pirtzufin. Pirtzuf is a face. That from the beginning of Adam's creation, there were two faces, so to speak. Zachar Milfanov, male on the front, Unakeva Meachar, and the back of his head was also a face, was female. And therefore, that one creation, then when Hashem took from Adam Chava, sort of the two pirtzufin, the two quote-unquote faces, I don't know if face is the best translation, but two images of Adam, one was Adam, one was male, one was female, became separated into Adam and Chava. And that would be one creation. Rashi says, Shtei Tziros, Kamanda Amar, Zanav Haya, that Adam had a tail. Umenu nivra sa'isha, and from it was woman created. Harikan shtei tziros, and therefore there are two creations. In other words, was there one creation, and then Adam was split into two, which is not really a new creation, but rather just a splitting of two existing creations, which were originally one and now two. Or was it that Hashem took a part of Adam, and from that part created a new thing? In which case, there is in fact a new creation going on. And how does this translate into making 6 or 7 Shavar Brachos at a wedding? 6 or 7 blessings, I should say, at a wedding. The answer is that if you hold there was only one creation, so then there's no reason to make a bracha of Yotzer Adam and Asher Yotzer, because only one creation ever occurred. However, if you say that there was two steps in this creation, one was the creation of Adam, one was the second creation of Chava, so then there's first the creation of Adam Yotzer HaAdam, and then there's Asher Yotzer, that he also took from Adam and created Chava. Now, anytime a Gemara makes such a suggestion, that usually is an indication that there's some kind of an argument going on, and it's an argument within sort of an already existing argument. In other words, it's a machlokas amongst the Tanaim, whether it's one or two creations, and now these Amoraim are going to be taking sides in that machlokas, and that in itself is not an idea that we like, because we'd like each person, each amora, each opinion, to be able to fit with all other existing opinions. We don't like it where, when I say we, I mean the Gemara, does not like it when they consider it somewhat, I guess, logically flawed. Maybe not logically flawed, but somewhat flawed, if an existing argument or a new argument that comes to our attention seems to fall into place with two sides of an existing argument. Now, on the surface of it, it seems counterintuitive. We would think that if an argument already exists, and now two people are coming along, and we can line up these two people, these two sides of the argument with the previous argument, that's better. There's no new argument existing. It's really just the two of them taking sides. And no new argument is in a certain sense better. It sort of is a cleaner, neater fit. But the reason the Gemara does not like this is because it also means that, let us say, in our instance, where we have Shtei Yetziros and Chari Yetzira, we'll call them one and two, and now we have Rav Asi and Rebbe, that means that if Rav Asi holds of two and Rebbe holds of one, that means that Rebbe cannot hold of two and Rav Asi can't hold of one. That limits Rebbe and Rav Asi in their ability to hold of everyone, and that's sort of, I guess, limiting is the best way to say it. And the Gemara doesn't like to have things limited. They'd like to leave things open-ended. It's not conclusive. You want to tell me it's conclusive, sort of, that these two people have to hold of that argument? Incorrect. It's not conclusive. It may be that, in fact, that was their argument. But certainly we cannot prove it from here. And this falls into something that we've discussed earlier, that when the Gemara brings a proof, that proof has to be ironclad. If it's not ironclad, if it's not absolute, if there's any chink in the armor of that proof, then the proof falls away, and we leave things in an inconclusive state. So the Gemara attempted to say, you see that it has to be this way. And the Gemara says, no, you can't conclude that. Although it seems logical and perhaps even likely, it is in no way conclusive from here that that is the case. So the Gemara answers as follows, lo. No, you don't say that. You don't say that it's conclusive that the Rebbe holds of one and Rav Asi holds of two. The Kuliyama Chari Yitzir Havoi. That everyone holds there was really one creation. Marasavar Basar Machshava Azlinan. The person who made two brachos, who made seven altogether, holds, we look after what the thought of Hashem was, so to speak, the original thought of Hashem. The one says we go after the action of Hashem rather than the action Hashem thought to take. What exactly does this mean? So the Gemara elaborates a little bit. We're going to need to clarify after that as well. The Gemara says, Ki hadi Rav Yehuda rami ksiv. Like that which Rav Yehuda asked an apparent contradiction between psukim. He said, it says, Vayivra Elokim es Adam Mitzalmo Uksiv Zachar Nekeva Baram, that Hashem created man in His image. And it also says, male and female He created them. Well, did He create Adam and that was it? Or did He create Adam and Chava together? Okay, so how could this be? B'tchila Olo B'mach Shava Libaros Shneim. Initially, Hashem planned on, and again, what does it mean Hashem planned and changed His mind? Again, those ideas are hard for us to understand, but that's the best way for us to understand them. That's the way the Gemara phrases them, so that's the way we'll discuss them as well. Initially, Hashem planned on creating two twice. He initially was going to create Adam and then create from Adam Chava. U'besof nivra achlad. And in the end, He created one, meaning He created them together and then split them into two, which is not a creation, but just a splitting. Let us see Rashi, how Rashi explains this. Rashi says, Basar machshava azlinan, Sheshnayim alu b'machshava lihibaros. That two was the way Hashem originally planned and created them. V'nivra echad, and He actually created them as one. Be'er v'nivarek osim pasim. He quotes a Gemara which discusses that machlokas, or that idea. So it seems that what happened was the person who says that we make seven brachos and include the extra brach of Yotzer HaAdam and feels that there was two creations, it's because we look at it because Hashem planned on making two creations, therefore two different sort of creatings, better than creations, creatings I think is a better word to use. Hashem planned on making two different creatings, and therefore we reference the two creatings that Hashem had planned on doing. The original creating of Adam, and then the creating of Chava from Adam. But in fact, that is not what Hashem did in the end. Hashem made one creating of the two of them as one, and then split it into two different creations. And that is how we can explain the machlokas of Rabbi and Rav Asi. Now, the way we explain the Gemara's sort of goal, what are they trying to do? They're trying to make it that Rebbe and Rav Asi can each fit with the opinions of one creating and two creating. There's a machlokas whether or not there was one or two, And now, we're trying to fit them both in with both. But in fact, the Gemara's answer doesn't quite do that. Because the Gemara's answer fits them both into the opinion that in the end, there was only one creating. So, that means that in the Gemara's question, we were saying that Rebbe holds that there was one creating, and Rav Asi holds that there was two creatings. So that means Rav Asi is really open to doubt whether or not he holds one or two creatings, because the Gemara in the question felt, well, it's viable that Rav Asi could hold that there were two creatings, and it's also viable he could hold that there was one creating, but we look at it based on what Hashem's original plan was, not what Hashem actually did. But even according to the Gemara's answer, Rebbe is always going to be sort of stuck in the opinion of one creating. So it's just interesting to note that although the Gemara's goal was to answer and say it's not conclusive that each person has to hold one of the two opinions, in fact, in the end, it is conclusive that at least Rebbe has to hold of one of the two opinions and cannot hold of both, although Rav Asi can hold of both. Let's take a look at Tosfos here. I think we have a few minutes. We should be able to still get through the rest of the Amud. Tosfos says, Chali Yitzira Havoi. So Tosfos says, Tzarech Lomar, you have to say, Hainu Kamanda Omar Pirtz of Echad. This is according to the one who said that there was only sort of one image or one face. Midika Omar Basar Hachi, Dikuli Alma Chali Yitzira Havoi. Marsa Rabasa Machshava Azlin. And this that Tosfos says here is really contrary to what we've been saying all along, which I believe is the way Rashi learns, but it does not seem to be the way Tosfos learns. Tosfos says that you have to say that the way we're explaining it, when there was one creating, it's not that there was one creating with both faces on admiration and then Hashem sort of split them, which wasn't a new creating, but rather just a splitting, but rather just the opposite. That there's an argument whether or not there was one or two faces, one or two pirtzufim, and according to the opinion that there was one pirtzuf, that's Chared Tzira. That there was one sort of face. And if that one creating was one face, the second creating was in fact not a creating at all, but rather just taking a piece off of Adam and making him new. But if there was two faces at Adam, that in itself would have been two creatings. Let's see if Tosfos elaborates, because it's a little hard to understand what he means. Uvarish Parak Sheni De'erivin. And the beginning of Perek Sheni De'erivin, Mashma Behajia, it implies explicitly, which is a phrase we can discuss in 1 minute, the Lamanda Amar Pirtzuf Echad, Hava Ola B'Machshava Lehibaros, Shnayim. That according to the opinion who holds that there was only one Pirtzuf, it really originally occurred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create two. Hava Lamanda Amar Hasam Shnei Pirtzufim, Lo Sir Lehachi. But according to the one who holds over there, there was two pirtzufim, he doesn't hold this that Hashem ever had any kind of a thought and then changed it. Kach Rish Rashbam, that's how Rashbam explains. So it's a little bit hard to understand how Tosfos understands if you hold that there was one pirtzuf, one creating, so then what was Hashem's original plan? Hashem's original plan was to make two yitziros by having Adam and Rishon have two faces and then split them, but then again, that's not two creatings, it's one creating. And if that is two creatings, then certainly when Adam Rishon only had one pirtzuf, making Chava again is certainly a second creating, all the more so. So it's certainly hard to understand exactly what Tosfos means. And this is where things get so esoteric, it's really pretty hard to come up with a pshat to exactly understand Tosfos. But it's nice to at least get the exposure and see what Tosfos is holding over here and see how he learns. There must be some kind of an idea that when Hashem created Chava, after Adam was already created with one pirtzuf, it was sort of one final creating of Adam, and that was it. Adam was done, and Adam was finished, and that was it. But when he created Chava, he wasn't, although he was taking something from Adam, as the pasuk clearly says, it wasn't like a new creating, it was just the manifestation of his original creating relevant to Chava, who had not yet been created. What exactly that means is hard to know. In any event, one line that I want to pick out from Tosfos, that's just something interesting to observe. Tosfos uses the term mashma behedya. It's implied explicitly. Now, the first time I read this, I thought it was a contradiction in terms. you can't have an explicit implication. If something is implied, it's by definition not explicit. And if something is explicit, it's by definition not implied. So it's very possible that in English, if we use the terms implied and explicit, implicit and explicit are opposites. So in fact, you can't have both. You can have something that's explicitly implicit or implied explicitly. But in Hebrew, you can have mashma behedja, because when something is mashma, what that means is that the goal of the statement that Tosis is quoting in this instance was not to say what Tosis is quoting it for, rather to say something else. However, that implication is so clear, is so beyond a doubt what the speaker of the statement meant, that we can call that implication explicit. And perhaps you could really have it in English as well. But it's sort of as if to say, a person says a particular chair is blue. Well, it goes without saying, although the speaker never mentioned the existence of a chair, that he clearly feels that there is a chair, because he's saying the chair is blue. So there must be a chair. So it's sort of explicitly implied that there is in fact a chair in existence. But that has nothing to do with what the speaker was talking about. The speaker statement is merely that the chair is blue. So it's interesting to note that Tosis uses this term, mashma behedja, explicitly implied, and it can in fact make sense in such a context. Okay, let us take a look at the rest of this Gemara, which is just interesting to see the way the rest of the way the Amoraim, various Amoraim, celebrated their children's weddings. The Gemara says, Rav Ashi ikul lebei Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi came to the house of Rav Kahana. Yumakama, the first day of the wedding festivities, Brich Kulu, he made all the blessings, all seven. Mikan ve'el, from that day onward, Iyik apanum chadoshos Baruch Kulu. If there was a panum chadoshos, as we mentioned earlier, a new person to the party, he would make all the blessings. Ve'ilo, and if not, apushi simcha ba'almahu. It was merely an extension of the original simcha. Mevarech sha simcha b'mono va'asher bara. He would make the bracha of simcha b'mono, which is how we say Rabbi Sina Barech when we're benching. We had an asimcha b'mono, and asher bara, which is the one bracha of shere brachos which we make when we don't have panu chadashos there. Mishiva v'yad shloshim, from 7 until 30 days. It's interesting, as far as we're concerned, once Shavuot Brachos is over, the wedding celebrations are done. But it seems like here, that was not the case. From 7 until 30 days, Bein Amar Lehu Machmas Yilula, Uvein Lo Amar Lehu Machmas Yilula, Mevarech Sha Simcha B'mono. Even though he didn't make the Brachah Vashar Bar, he still did the Simcha B'mono that we do in benching, when a person is leading the benching, he says, Rav Zayin Avarech, he says, Sha Simcha B'mono V'sha Chalom Yishalo, in benching, and that was something he did from 7 until 30 days. And it mentions whether or not the purpose of that feast was sort of for the purposes of having a wedding-related celebration, or if it was just because they happened to be sitting and eating together, and the Chasan and Kala were there. Mikan ve'elach, from 30 days and onward, if he said to them, because of the wedding, if it was sort of a wedding-related celebration, he would... sort of an extension of that wedding. Oh, it's so nice, the Chasan and Kala are here. The Chasan and Kala, the newlyweds. Let's, you know, sort of re-celebrating that event. Then he would say Shas Simcha B'mono during benching. And if that was not the purpose of that celebration, the Chasan and Kala happened to be there, he would not, which is not how we paskin nowadays. And the Gemara wants to know, and if he did it because of Hiluvah, it was because of a wedding celebration, how long would it go? How it was from 30 days and on, but until when? For an entire year. If the cause of that celebration was somewhat wedding related, he would say Shas Simcha B'mono in benching. When did it begin? Did it begin at the day of the wedding? Was it before the wedding? When exactly did this begin? It seems like there was a lot of celebrations surrounding this, the way they did weddings. Rav Papa said, Mechi Ramu Shari Basinta. Excuse me, Ramu Sarei Basinta. From the time that they placed the grain in the pot. What does that mean? We'll see in Rashi. The Gemara wants to know, Eini, is that so? Bahar of Papa Yasek La'abamar Berei. Ubarach Mishas Erison. It wasn't from the time the barley was placed in the pot. Rather, it was even earlier than that. From the time Erison was done. From the time it was betrothed. Sort of what the formalized engagement that we do together with nisuin at all at a wedding used to be done separately, perhaps even as much as a year earlier. That was the time that they began saying shasim chumono during benching. So the Gemara answers, that was different. Shiny Rav Papa to have a tarachle. Rav Papa was himself personally involved in the accomplishing of this shidduch and the marriage. However, in ordinary cases where that's not the case, and it's simply a man who decides to marry a woman and sort of the man's own impetus, in that instance we only start from the time they place the barley in the pots. What exactly does that mean? Rashi tells us, they would soak barley in a mixture of water in order to make beer for the wedding. They would have beer at the wedding, and from the time the beer making process began, that was sort of the beginning of the wedding preparations and the beginning of the wedding festivities, and that was when they began saying shasim chumono if the chasen and kala were present. Perhaps it was only if the chasen or kala were present, so they weren't married yet, they didn't necessarily weren't at every meal together in any event. And some say what is meant by the barley soaking in the pot, Zoran Saorin Ba'asit, they would plant barley in a pot, be fruitful and multiply and sprout like these barley. And then they would sort of, and those barley plants were done sort of as a positive sign for the husband and kala. Rashi explains what was her papa's tircha, the avatarachle, misukhanim hayulo. They were set for him, kol tzarchei chuppah v'suda. Whereas her papa had made sure that all the wedding plans and festivities were in place. And because he was involved in that, therefore he would say shasim chumamona when he benched when the husband and kala were there. The Gemara goes on to say, Ravina Yasik Levit Bray, Beirav Chaviva, Ubarach Mishas Erison. Ravina was involved in the wedding of his son, the son of Rav Chaviva, and he would start those brachos from the time of Erison. Omar, Kibli B'Gavad Lo Hadri B'Hu. He said, even though it was so early, he felt comfortable doing it because he said, I am sure about these two that they are going to not retract, that this wedding is going to last, this marriage is going to last. Lo Estayim Nosa. However, that was not the case. The wedding did not, in fact, last Hadri B'Hu, and they did not go through with the Nesu, and they stopped after Kedushin, and they, got divorced from that betrothal. Rav Tachlifa by Marava, Iklu L'Bavel. Rav Tachlifa, the son of Marava, happened to be in Bavel, Baruch Shisi, Arichta. They made six long blessings, each one with a baruch at the beginning and at the end. V'laz Nochot HaKavah said, we don't paskin that way. Rav Chaviva Iklu L'Vehi Mehula. Rav Chaviva went to a bris, Baruch Shasim Chabimono. And he made the bracha of Shasim Chabimono, that addition to benching that we do by Shavu Brachos, he did it by bris. V'laz Nochot HaKavah said, we do not paskin that way. Why? Mishim the treaty, because the Bale Simcha in that instance are distracted. The Islay Tzara Liyinuka, it's not a full fledged Simcha because they are sort of in pain because of the pain of the child who's having the bris. They're not able to fully feel that Simcha, and therefore it's inappropriate to say Shah Simcha Bamono in benching. It's again interesting to note the intricacies and the attention to detail, the care with which we choose how we say brachos. It's not just a mere symbolic gesture. It has real meaning, it's significant, and it's appropriate to the party at which it's said. If Shavu Brachos are said at Shavu Brachos, and if Harachamans are said at a bris, that's because those are the things that are appropriate for those parties. And it's not an arbitrary assignment of various blessings. We'll hold it here, and we'll continue with the bottom of Chesam and Alpha next time we meet. Have a good week, everyone.